Will you turn, please, to the book of Psalms? We're going to read a short verse together, Psalm 110. Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. I'll read that verse again. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Of the 150 Psalms in the Old Testament, there are some 16, perhaps a few more, that are identified as Psalms of the Messiah, Messianic Psalms, Psalms of the King. And very simply, a Messianic Psalm is a passage, of course, that deals with the coming Christ. For the most part, they will be psalms that are quoted in the New Testament in relation to the Lord Jesus. Psalm 110 will be the most frequently quoted psalm of the New Testament, and all of them in relation to the Lord Jesus. We have in verse 1 what we might term a divine conversation. The Lord said unto my Lord. Were we to ask the question today, who is speaking to whom in this passage? It is very evident that the first Lord, the first word Lord that is used here, is of course the word Jehovah, very common through our Bible. Who is the my Lord? In each of three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this verse will be quoted, and quoted by none other than the Lord Jesus himself. And just for a moment, if I could ask you to think with me of Matthew 22, there is an occasion where the Lord Jesus is confronted by parties with three very difficult questions. Without going into the details, there's a group of people that are identified as the Herodians, the politicians, if you like, with this question, is it lawful to pay tribute unto Caesar? At this time, of course, the Jewish people were under the bondage of Caesar, under the bondage of the Romans. What would happen to a man who said, don't pay tribute to Caesar? He'd be reported to the authorities. What would happen to a man who is a man of God and a spokesman for God, a prophet of God, who says, yes, go ahead? He'd be in disfavor, would he not, with the religious Jews? What does the Lord Jesus do? He takes a piece of the tribute money, the tax money, Roman coins. And like a coin today, he would hold it up. Whose image? They said Caesar's. Then render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And don't forget, folks, a physical coin has the image of an earthly man. Human beings, you and me, are made in the image of God. So when the Lord says, render unto Caesar, that physical money, that earthly money, that Rome-made money, if it's his, give it to him. But don't forget the other side of the equation. Then another party, the Sadducees, come with another question, a question having to do with marriage in the hereafter. You read it through and think of it. The Lord's response to them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, number one, nor the power of God, number two. And it's beautiful to notice, not only does he tell them about relationships in the hereafter, but I particularly like this thought that he reminds them that the Old Testament scriptures repeatedly will say, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not I was, but I am, present tense. And then says the Lord Jesus, he's not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living, telling us that the righteous are not dead and gone forever, they're living. Along come the legal experts as to the greatest law. And you remember the quotation from Leviticus, bringing all the commandments together. The three tricky questions are answered so wisely that they are left with nothing to say. But then, says the Lord Jesus, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? That's not a difficult question for the Jewish people. Christ means the Messiah. Christ means the Anointed One. And so very quickly they would answer, the Christ is the Son of David. But note, please, the Lord Jesus said, how then, in spirit, doth David call him Lord? In spirit, if you please. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Spirit of God will have caused David to write these words that we're reading here in Psalm 110. How could David call him Lord if he's David's son? Not a difficult question for you or me, I hope. But it stumped them. Who then is David speaking of when he said, the Lord said unto my Lord? Who is the my Lord of Psalm 110? The my Lord of Psalm 110 is the Son of David. The my Lord of Psalm 110 is the promised Messiah. The my Lord of Psalm 110 is the Lord Jesus Christ. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. We have here then the Father speaking to the Son who now sits at the Father's right hand. Come with me just for a moment. There are other passages through our Bible where we can see conversations like this or the persons identified like this. Could I ask you very quickly, just in your minds, to think with me of two chapters of the final book of our Bible. When in chapter 4 of Revelation, John is caught up. Chapter 4, remember, gives us the throne room of God. It gives us a great number of details about the throne. 12 times the throne is mentioned. The one that sat upon the throne. And you remember when you go into chapter 5, in relation to that seven-sealed book, who is worthy to take the book and to loose the seals thereof? And then a little later, John is told, weep not, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed. What did John see? John saw a lamb as it had been slain. But you notice, the Lamb comes to the one that sat upon the throne. And the one that sat upon the throne gives to the Lamb the seven-sealed book. Who is the one that sat upon the throne, and who is the Lamb? In your minds, go just for a moment with me to Daniel 7. Daniel has a vision and he sees the Ancient of Days. And the Ancient of Days gives to one the Son of Man, an everlasting kingdom. Who is it that will be given the everlasting kingdom? Son of Man? You say, that's the Lord Jesus. Well, then who is the Ancient of Days? The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. John 1, you remember, in the beginning was the Word was with God. The Word was God. Go back again in your minds to Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? The peoples imagine a vain thing. And you'll find there this prophetic passage of Jew and Gentile. Yes, Herod and Pilate initially set themselves together against the Lord and his anointed. Who's his anointed? The word anointed is our Greek word for Christ. His anointed is the Messiah. And of course, you'll see that in relation to Calvary. The Lord and his anointed. What do we have a little bit later in Psalm 2? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Who's the one that sits in the heavens? The one who sat upon the throne of Revelation 4. He'd be the Ancient of Days of Daniel 7. He'd be the Lord of Psalm 110. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. And what does he say? Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Who is my king? The my king is the one that will have the everlasting kingdom. The my king is the Son of Man. The my king is the one who one day will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The my king is the one who today sits at the right hand of the Father in glory. And so our psalm begins, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Until. What does until mean? It's a very simple, easy word for all of us to comprehend, is it not? Until covers a span of time. For every until, there's a beginning, there's a duration, and there's a conclusion. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. When we go to our Bible and think of the Lord Jesus, first of all, in relation to the right hand, you will remember that the gospel writers, or Mark in particular, will tell us that he was received up and sat at the right hand of God. You might remember that this will be picked up by the apostle in the book of the Acts. This verse is quoted by the apostle Peter. This verse is quoted in Hebrews chapter 1. I note that the apostle Paul in Romans 8 makes reference to the Lord Jesus being at the right hand. Ephesians 1, the one who's gone up far above all principalities and powers, likewise at the right hand. Colossians 3, you'll have the same thing. 1 Peter 3 will end with the same thought. At the right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Digressing for a moment, the first time we have right hand in our Bible, in the sense of a position, is Genesis 48. Careful now, you'll find right hand earlier in the sense of a direction, but the first time in the sense of a position, Genesis 48. That's the occasion, you remember, when Joseph brings two little boys to see their grandfather, the man who can't see that well. And you remember Joseph positioned them in the traditional way, with the elder on the right hand, the younger on the left. But the man that couldn't see that well crossed his hands. And the significance, as I'm sure you all appreciate, is that the right hand of the grandfather, the right hand of blessing, will be laid upon the younger son. The position of right hand, we see it following through. Who is the man at God's right hand? It is the rejected man of earth. It is the rejected man of Calvary. It is, let me say again, the anointed one of Psalm 2. The My King of Psalm 2. The My Lord of Psalm 110. The Son of Man of Daniel 7. It is the Lamb who was slain of Revelation chapter 5. He's at the right hand of God in glory. Sit thou at my right hand until. And until then has a beginning. And again, in our minds, we go back and think. There was a time subsequent to his earthly journey. Come unto his own received him not. There's a time that we call Calvary, when the animosity and hatred of Jew and Gentile alike are poured out against God's beloved Son. But there's a time a little later when a handful of believers would have watched a real person. Let's all get a hold of that. A real person. Tangible person, leave the Mount of Olives, descend up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He went back, he went homeward, he went heavenward. Every until has a duration. What's the duration of this until? I make thine enemies thy footstool. In your minds, come with me just for a moment. You appreciate that we live in this wonderful thing that's called the Day of Grace. Nationally, Israel set aside. God, through the wonderful work of the Spirit of God and by means of the gospel, reaching out to the whosoever's of this world, forming the body of Christ, forming the bride of Christ. Could I give you a verse telling you when the rapture will take place? Might be my last time in Vancouver, says you. Well, I'll give you one anyway. Romans 11 and 25. Blindness in part has happened to Israel. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. I take it the fullness of the Gentile is the completeness of this great work that God is doing by means of the gospel. I take it the fullness of the Gentile means this. God is reaching out to the uttermost parts of the earth. Souls are being saved and added to this great company. There's coming a day when Israel's blindness will be lifted. But not until. And incidentally, since Revelation 7 makes it clear to me that there won't be anything disturbed or hurt upon this earth until there's 144,000, 12,000 of each 12 tribes that are going to be sealed before the coming wrath. I would take it the sealing of the 144,000 must have something to do with the lifting of the blindness of the nation. Consequently, if you put those things together, their blindness then must be lifted prior to the angelic activity of what we call the Great Tribulation Period. Now, that might just be a long, roundabout way of saying this. I'm convinced for any number of reasons that the rapture of the church will take place before the Great Tribulation. Israel's blindness will be lifted, but prior to that, God's church will be complete. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. When I go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I read the coming of the man of sin, the son of perdition. And I read these words: He who letteth will let until he be taken away. I'm not sure what all of your thoughts would be, but I'm happy enough to see the Holy Spirit as a restrainer of 2 Thessalonians 2. And the Holy Spirit is here until he is taken away. Mind you, I recall the words of the Lord Jesus in the other Comforter saying, He shall abide with you forever. So I don't see the Spirit of God leaving and leaving the church behind if he's going to abide with them forever. Another reason to say the church will go, the rapture will take place rather before the Great Tribulation. So there is one that is holding back the coming of Satan's man until he be taken away. If you were to go to Luke 21, Jerusalem shall be trodden underfoot of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So you see, pick up these verses. There's many others in your Bible. There's a time when these things begin. There's a duration in between, and then a time when it ends. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord Jesus then today sits at the Father's right hand, awaiting a coming day. I make thine enemies thy footstool. This is the same I, if you please, of verse 12 of Isaiah 53. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. I make thine enemies thy footstool. The image of the footstool, it's an Old Testament picture. You have a moment, you could read in Joshua chapter 10. But it's an Old Testament picture that where there were enemies and armies against each other back there, a defeated king might well find himself brought, if he wasn't killed, he very likely would be brought before the victor. And then he would bow his head to the earth. The victorious king literally would lift up his foot and put it upon the shoulder or the head of the man who had lost. That's the picture of the footstool. Thine enemies, thy footstool. What does it mean? It simply means this. Again, we can read of how kings shall shut their mouths at him. But there is a day coming, remember. Every eye shall see him. Every tongue will have to confess, acknowledge, as to who Christ is. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. I make thine enemies thy footstool. They'll have to bow before him. You notice he's awaiting that time. These little untils that I mentioned, Christians, would remind us of this. There is a calendar of God as to what we call time and time's events. There is a calendar of God When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. That's Galatians, and that's Christ coming into the world. I go to Revelation chapter 9, and I read again in relation to the timing of God, that there are angels holding back certain forces in relation to the Euphrates River. And the context is very clear, that they're there until a given moment. It's wonderful to think. As man looks at it, this old world is just rambling on, swirling on in space. That's not so. That is simply not so. God has certain events marked, if I can say, on His calendar. And this one, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. A day will come, Jew and Gentile alike, the forces of this ungodly world, and all the atheism and everything else, are all going to be brought to a point when they're going to be confronted with the reality, not only of the coming judgment of God, but the coming in glory of the Son of God. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. They also which pierced Him, all kindreds of the earth, shall wail because of Him. Thine enemies, thy footstool. Somebody might say, how could the Lord Jesus have enemies? What had he ever done to get enemies? They that being mine enemies wrongfully. He never gave anyone any cause to be His enemy. He always moved with love and compassion, wept for the lost. They're enemies because of their own hatred of the things of God. But our little verse says this, sit thou at my right hand until. How close are we to that until? Well, we're at least 7 years away from it. I wouldn't want to say any more. I wouldn't want to say any longer is what I meant. Until. But the events of God are moving along. And in the program of God, there will come a moment when a shout will be given. Believers changed. Believers caught up. The judgments of God unfolded. And God will be making His enemies to become His footstool. May God bless His word.